I'm David Ford, and we're going to take a hard turn right now from Dixie to Doctor Who. Actually, Eddie's going to take that turn, and I, like you, am just along for the ride. So let's jump on in the TARDIS, buckle our seatbelts, and get set for an intergalactic trip around the world of triad art with Eddie Garcia.
Greensboro artist Kelly Yates is one of those rare people who've had their pop culture dream fulfilled. I mean, how many artists get the opportunity to draw the comic book version of their favorite television program, especially one with the rich history of Doctor Who? You can meet Kelly Yates on Saturday, December 7th at Geeksboro Cafe in Greensboro. Kelly will be giving an artist talk, doing a live drawing illustration that will be projected on a large screen, and telling stories about his experiences interacting with the creative team behind Doctor Who. The event begins at 2 p.m. Kelly also has two of his own comic book series, Amber Adams, which is described as an adventure book starring a female Flash Gordon type, and Monster, about a halfway house for monsters trying to become human again. You can find digital versions of these and his Doctor Who comics online, and we'll post links at wfdd.org. Now, being a comic book fan and a Doctor Who fan, I was pretty excited to talk to Kelly and to get him to sign my comic. I tempered my enthusiasm, and we had a great conversation, and we started off talking about how and when he started drawing.
I've always enjoyed comic books. You know, I've been reading comic books since I was about 12 years old. And, you know, that's one of those things you kind of keep, you don't talk about a lot back then, especially during the 80s. You know, you didn't talk to your high school friends like, oh, I read comic books. Yeah, I think the last time I actually taken an art class was like maybe ninth grade. So for me, you know, I was pushed into sports. So I didn't really have a huge art background. So, you know, I started going to college at UNCG studying exercise sports science for 3.5 years. And UNCG is a great school, but it just wasn't the right fit for me. And, you know, I was like, I just love comic books. I want to be involved in them. So for me, it really was like a leap of faith at 21 years old to quit UNCG after 3.5 years and go to Guilford Technical Community College to get a degree in commercial art and computer graphics.
Wow.
So as I'm doing that, I'm taking like life drawing classes, you know, staying up all hours of the night, just studying anatomy and just over the years cultivating that art style. I have all these great artist friends I've met throughout the years. I mean, people who've worked on Star Wars movies and, you know, have worked directly with Lucas and Spielberg and people that are incredibly talented. But they have all these great stories. Oh, I start drawing when I was 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and here I am starting, deciding to draw for a living at 21. So for me, you know, I'm 42 now. I feel like I have to play catch up. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge motivator for me. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm behind them. I'm 21 years behind them creatively. So I'm always playing catch up, which is a great motivator for me.
Do you have some certain artists or comics that really help to ignite your passion for drawing?
For me, it's more about meeting those artists I really like. I'm like Olivier Vatine, he's a big French artist that I've gotten to know over the years. And Ian McKeag, which he's a guy, again, who worked directly with Spielberg and Lucas. You know, he designed Darth Maul. He did all the Queen Amidala outfits. So meeting these people and being influenced by their passion and their love and how they draw things, I can learn from things they do, pick up little techniques or tricks and, you know, motivational too.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got to go to France because I worked with Olivier Vatine on this French album. So, I mean, I've been published in France. For me, it was huge because he was one of those artists I looked up to. But a lot of it tends to be through connecting at social gatherings, conventions, or cons, as we call them. You know, New York, Atlanta is Dragon Con. San Diego Comic Con is the big one. I mean, that's the con. That is one that you call. You don't call it San Diego Comic Con. You just call it Comic Con. And everybody knows what you're talking about. San Diego's been a big connection place for me throughout the year since I've been attending back, I think 1995 was the first year I went.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, did the opportunity to become the illustrator on the Doctor Who comic book come through some of these types of meetings?
Doctor Who directly came out of San Diego Comic Con.
Okay.
IDW had acquired the rights to Doctor Who in 2006, I believe it was. It was a year after the relaunch, the new Who, as we call it, mm-hmm. in 2005 with Chris Eccleston. I've always been a lifelong fan of Doctor Who. And I didn't really have a connection to that company. But I learned that a friend of mine at our studio mate was drawing G.I. Joe for that company. And I was like, Robert, I was like, man, you have got to introduce me to the editor. I'm like, please, please introduce me. I'm saying, I'm just a huge fan of Doctor Who, lifelong fan since the late 70s. And he took me over there and introduced me to the editor. And the editor's like, you know, Kelly, I really like your stuff, but, you know, we're booked up for the next year. There's absolutely nothing I can give you for the next year. I was like, that's okay. I said, you know, just a fill-in issue, a one-shot, a pin-up, anything, I'll take it. You know, just please keep me in mind. He goes, okay, well, it's going to be a year. I was like, that's fine. So after San Diego, I come home, and about a month afterwards, I get an email from the editor going, knock, knock, opportunity. Mm-hmm. So, and that was really, I was asked to do issue 4 of Doctor Who, The Forgotten.
And then since then, how many more issues have you done?
Altogether, I've done 12 issues of Doctor Who. It's really amazing how my comic book art career, you know, started to solidify with Doctor Who coming out again. So they just kind of both came together at the same time. And like I said, I've always liked Doctor Who. And to be able to work on that property has just been an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, and the latest one I did was Prisoners of Time, issue 12, which is a celebration of the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who.
Yeah, and you got to draw all 11 Doctors.
Yes.
Doing that. How that must have been a great feeling.
It was an awesome feeling. Intimidating, but awesome. So, and there's the 12th Doctor now. And if you look close enough on the last page, you might happen to spot him. I might have accidentally drawn him in there, tucked away in the background.
I'll have to take a look at that again.
Yeah. Yeah. Close to the light. So I don't know what his costume looks like yet. So I drew his head in there accidentally. All right. So.
Awesome. All right. So everybody out there, so you got to look for that.
Yes.
On the last page.
Yes.
We were talking about Doctor Who a little bit before we started rolling, and you know, we know about Doctor Who, and like you just said, you've been a fan since the 70s. So, believe it or not, there's still people out there who don't know about Doctor Who. Maybe now, I think everyone's, you know, the 50th anniversary was such a big deal, and so many media outlets were covering it. Mm-hmm. If it hadn't gotten big already, it's, I think, really getting big now. Mm-hmm. So the next Doctor has he's got a lot of weight on his shoulder.
Well, I think Peter Capaldi is the right guy to have that weight on his shoulders. He can pull it off.
Yeah, so, I'm really excited. Yeah. So how about you give listeners just kind of like a brief overview of Doctor Who in general so far?
Wow. Well, 50 years we'll cover in 1 minute. No.
Excellent.
Well, Doctor Who, basically, if you go back and watch the very first episode that came out in 1963 called An Unearthly Child, it is essentially the same show as it was back then as it is now. It's about a gentleman from another planet called Gallifrey, and he's a time traveler, and he can regenerate. And the idea behind the regeneration is you can have another actor step into the role. So you have this main character called the Doctor. The Doctor might stick around for a few years our time, but really he might have aged 200 or 300 years. So they'll have another actor come in and still play the same character, but he just ages. And he travels around with companions, mostly from Earth. And again, he travels around in a blue box called a, you know, police box that you would have seen in Britain in the 50s and 60s. And it's a time traveling machine, so he can go basically anywhere in time and space.
That was a really good overview.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, good job. You consolidated to 50 years. In about it's a little more than a minute, but that's okay. You did good. Take me through a day of, you know, you're getting up and you have an assignment or you have some panels you need to work on that day. How does that work?
Well, my real day starts off with my real full-time job.
Okay.
So I actually, that's the dirty little secret, as I call it. I love my job. I work at VF Jeans, where as a graphic designer, design store displays, posters. The reason I do that is because I like to have a house. I like to be able to pay for my car. I like to take a vacation. I like insurance. And unfortunately, comic books, unless you're that top tier people, you can't make a living full time. It's truly that starving artist type of thing. So basically, that's my real day job. But then when I get projects like this, you know, I work on them at night. And basically, I get a script in from the writer. And my creative process has actually changed over the past couple of years because of technology. Because originally, when you had a script, you know, you sat down at your art table and you had a piece of paper and a pencil and you just start drawing. And if you had an edit or something wrong, you had to either erase it, start over, whatever. You know, nowadays it's completely different because what I do is I actually have something called a Cintiq Wacom tablet. It's a big 21-inch thing and I can actually put it in my lap and draw digitally. So if I want to, I can go ahead and ink digitally 100%. But for me, I still like the feel of an ink pen in my hand. So I'll do my layouts on the computer and then print out like a blue, we call it a blue line, on Bristol board. And then I'll go to my art table and I'll ink that actual page. And the great thing about that is, again, digital. So if there is an edit, you can catch it soon enough. And, you know, or if you draw a hand too big, you can scale it down. So the creative process has really changed. You can move so much quicker and make edits. And it's just completely changed.
You know, geek culture, as it were, you know, and people being really interested in pop culture, stuff that, like you said, when you were young, it was not something to talk about, you know, that you were into comic books, you know, not something you wouldn't talk about with people you were playing sports with. But now it's totally different now. It's changed.
Completely changed. Well, I had a friend who, he was watching Doctor Who too, but we never talked about it. There was no cross talking about Doctor Who. And it wasn't until we were maybe in our 20s that we found out we'd both been watching Doctor Who and talking about it more. So it was just kind of wild. So even your best friends at that time were not talking about it. Move ahead to today, and the culture of comic books and geekism, or whatever you want to call it, has completely changed. It's completely accepted now. You know, you're seeing mothers give gifts to their kids, like graphic novels to their kids for Christmas. You know, my wife went to San Diego Comic Con with me for the first time this year, and she is not into comic books at all. She'll watch Doctor Who with me every once in a while, but she had a blast just going out there and seeing all the artists and the different things that people put out there. It's just amazing. So it's just completely changed. And I think a lot of that has to do with probably, you know, Harry Potter, Doctor Who, and, you know, I think Iron Man, when the first Iron Man movie came out, I saw a huge shift in the demographics of it. So it's just all these things kind of coming together and, you know, accepting, just being more open to it.
That's a good point. The Harry Potter point, you're the first person I've ever talked to about this. Our oldest daughter, who's now just about to turn 10, she was a big Harry Potter fan. And it felt like it went from Harry Potter to Doctor Who, and it wasn't just her. It was like other friends, like she's in fourth grade. Her and her other friends, like her friend had a Doctor Who themed birthday party, you know, at 9 years old.
Oh, I want one of those.
Yeah.
Wow.
Me too. His mom made a TARDIS cake. It was pretty awesome. So yeah, it's a great point. I think it's a shifting culture. And I think that's good too. You know, that when I was a kid too, I was thought of like, oh, this is great, imaginative, creative, fun stuff. And it's great that it's something, you know, not to hide anymore and something to be, you know, celebrated.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Kelly.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Greensboro-based artist Kelly Yates. You can meet Kelly on Saturday, December 7th at Geeksboro Cafe in Greensboro. Kelly will be giving an artist talk, doing a live drawing illustration that will be projected on a large screen, and telling stories about his experiences interacting with the creative team behind Doctor Who. The event begins at 2 p.m. For Triad Arts Weekend, I'm Eddie Garcia.